In the Alleluia verse of today's Mass, my dear faithful, we prayed in the words of the psalmist, "In whatever tribulation they shall cry to me, I will hear them." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the years before World War II and the Japanese invasion of the Pacific countries, the church was spread wonderfully by the work of missionaries throughout all of Southeast Asia. There was a convent of nuns at Kuala Lumpur in what is today Malaysia, and these sisters were able to open a school about 15 miles from their convent for some little village called Kajang, which had once been Catholic, but because there weren't any priests for a long time, the people were falling away from the faith. Now, the problem was how to get the sisters there every day to teach class. It was at a distance of about 15 miles. The way train service was, it would have taken 2 hours each way, and the heat would have been unendurable and would have melted the nuns' linen coif and the rest of it. To hire a car and a driver would have been about $7 a day, and they couldn't afford that either. So they decided to make a novena to St. Thérèse of Lisieux, to the Little Flower. And one of the sisters had the inspiration to get a hold of a little model car, such as boys play with, and to tie it around her neck, just to make the point, this is what we need. We need a car. So they began the novena, and they finished it, and still no car was forthcoming. Well, Reverend Mother announced, I must have a car by Monday if this school is going to work. So make the novena again, sisters, and get St. Joseph in on it this time. So they got a little car for St. Joseph to wear, too, and they started the novena all over again. During the course of the second novena, there was a wealthy Chinese businessman who had a relative in the convent. He had gotten word that this sister was ill, and he came to visit her. Happily, he was mistaken. They had a good visit together. She gave him a little tour of the convent, and they ended up praying in the chapel. After they visited the Blessed Sacrament, the businessman said to his relative, he said, "Sister, that's a lovely chapel, but what are those funny little things that the statues of the saints have around their neck?" "Oh," sister explained with a little smile and a blush, "well, that's a little toy car." And then she explained about the novena and the need for the car and the rest of it. Well, the businessman said, "Tell Reverend Mother she shall have her car, but please get rid of those toys from the chapel, would you?" And sure enough, Monday morning arrived a bright new shiny car with a driver at their disposition. And the priest, the chaplain, blessed it. And as Chinese will, they had set off firecrackers and a little procession and the rest of it. And every morning, the sisters would set out 15 miles seeking souls for our Lord. I heard a story myself a few years ago about some cloistered nuns, Cistercian sisters, in Rome at the Church of Santa Susanna. Sometime after World War II, they heard about this newfangled device of a washing machine, and they decided they wanted one too. And of course, especially after the war, things were very, very difficult in Italy, and they had no money. So they made a novena to St. Joseph. Again, at the end of the novena, their prayer was not heard. There was no sign of a washing machine. Now, these were Italians, so their approach is a little different. So what they did was they took the statue of St. Joseph and they put it outside in the courtyard in the rain. And they told St. Joseph, if you want to come back inside, you've got to get us the washing machine that we're praying for. So then they started their novena over again. And the washing machine arrived, and St. Joseph got taken out of the wet, and everybody presumably was happy. Now, we smile at these stories of the good sisters of long ago, so simple in their faith and yet so strong in their faith. We smile, but isn't it true that we couldn't muster up enough faith to make even one novena when we are in need, much less to repeat it over again? I note that very often, it's only when the second novena starts that prayers get heard. 50 years ago, this year, the Holy Father Pius XII canonized St. Pius X. And he needed 3 miracles for his beatification and 3 for his canonization. And I read with interest this week that very often the miracles that were granted were only done the second time around when the nuns or the sick woman persevered in making the novena to St. Pius X. If only we could pray as did the saints of old with persevering confidence. But we don't, do we? No. We worry. We complain. We talk to everybody about our problems except to Almighty God. And then we get depressed about it. And that means then we start drinking a little bit more than we should, or maybe we waste hours flicking channels in front of a TV set, or we end up eating too much. Or then we get angry with God, and we get short with our family members and our neighbor. All of this we do instead of praying and praying more. Actually, we often stop praying in disgust altogether, don't we? Well, as the young people say today, duh, where do you think that comes from? Why, that comes from the devil. That is his victory. Indeed, if he could, and he sometimes does, he gets you to stop coming to church altogether, to stop praying, because your prayer has not yet been heard. Does that make any sense at all? But you are in church, and you've made it through the rain, and we're with St. Joseph today on his solemnity, his great feast day. Let's take a moment to hear from another nun who presides for the moment over our altar, St. Teresa of Avila. She had a strong devotion to St. Joseph. She writes that this father of mine, that's how she called him, has delivered me from many dangers of body and of soul, and he has done me such great services. If I ask him for something on his feast day, I know I will always have it. And that other saints help us in this or that necessity, but St. Joseph's patronage is universal. And when you pray to him, he helps you to grow visibly in virtue. How does this all work? I mean, the matter of saints praying for me and me praying to saints. It is certain. It is a truth of the faith, according to the Council of Trent, that the saints pray for us. And it is good for us to pray to them, secondly, individually, privately, as well as we're doing today, corporately, together, publicly. Thirdly, this intercession that we ask of the saints does not diminish the role of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the crown of all of the saints. He, as it were, shares with them his work of being the one mediator, as Scripture says. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because who are the saints? They are the members of Christ. They're part of our Lord. St. Paul teaches that. You could point that out to a Protestant. That is a scriptural truth. And so just as your fingers or toes are parts of you, so are the saints part of our Lord. So when the saints pray, really it is our Lord praying to God the Father. Next, it is also certain that the saints get whatever they pray for, but they only pray for what they perceive to be the will of God, because they are perfectly united with God in the beatific vision of heaven. Next, what about the power or the specialties, the patronages of the saints? Their power in heaven, the power of their prayers, is proportionate to the degree of their union with our Lord, their love of God, while they were here upon earth. Next, God organizes things in such a way as to help us out, that what a saint did well during life, by God's help, the miracles he worked, his specialties, if you will, continue now while he is in heaven. So we all know we pray to St. Anthony when we lose something. Always say one Hail Mary before you start worrying, getting up to say your Hail Mary, and oftentimes you'll find it right away. Next, we have St. Lucy for the eyes, and St. Blaise for the throat, and St. Rita, if your husband or children are erring from the faith or in mortal sin, and so forth. There are all these saints that we pray to, each one of them for a special or a particular cause. Almighty God hears the prayers of certain saints sometimes because he wishes to glorify such and such a saint and to make him known, better known, by miracles. Sometimes a lesser saint is heard simply because someone is praying to that saint with so much devotion. And God wants to reward that because that shows faith. Now, when we take all of these principles from church theology and apply them to our patron saint as Catholics, Saint Joseph, what do we get? We see the power of his patronage as most excellent of all after that of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is also universal. It extends to everyone. No matter who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what your case is, Saint Joseph is your man. He is your saint. He is the patron of the whole universal Church of Christ. If the power of intercession of a saint before God corresponds to his charity, his love of God during his life, well, then Saint Joseph is first of all after our Blessed Lady. But you know, there's something very special. There is something unique about the prayer of Saint Joseph. Any other saint, when he prays to God, supplicates as a servant. Even our Blessed Lady herself says, "Look, I'm just a little serving girl of our Lord." Ecce ancilla Domini. But when Joseph speaks, Joseph speaks with authority. Why? Because God gave him that authority at Nazareth. He was the head of the Holy Family. Our Lady respected and listened to her husband, Saint Joseph. And when Saint Joseph said in the workshop, "Son, pick up that board, bring it over here, and then cut it in half for me, will you?" Well, he did. Jesus, God of God, light of light, obeyed Joseph because he was his foster or legal father and the head of the family. He minded and respected him. Well, things don't change. They really don't. Our Lord still has that same respect and that same affection for his earthly father, for Saint Joseph. And that is the secret of the power of Saint Joseph. So who's telling us that we should honor Saint Joseph? Why, Jesus is. Who's telling us? Why, Mary is. They listen to his prayers for us. Prayer. We know that our prayer, if it is there, and of course that's a big if, as we saw last week, we know that our prayer is poor, that our prayer has tied around its neck like an albatross those three T's. Remember them from last Sunday? That our prayer is either timid, fearful, or tepid, lukewarm, or temerarious, bold, pushy, presumptuous. We also know this. We know we cannot do it by ourselves. There are some of you who think you can do it by yourself, and that's why you're failing right now. And God is going to have you continue to fail until you realize you cannot do it by yourself. What's the most common phrase in our Catholic vocabulary? "I'll pray for you." We say that a lot. We write it in letters, don't we? Or, "Please pray for me," or "Pray for this sick person, pray for this intention." This is the Catholic way, the universal way. This is indeed God's plan. He knows we're busy. He knows we have all sorts of problems and difficulties, and it's hard to keep all this theology in our head. That's why the good Lord has given us a shortcut to heaven. "I am the way to the Father," says Jesus. He is the one mediator between heaven and earth, and he is always living, St. Paul says, to make intercession for us, showing his wounds to his Father. But what is the way then to Jesus, if Jesus is the way to the Father? Why, it is through his mother, Mary, the mediatrix of all graces. You know the truth. She is the shortest, she is the sweetest, she is the surest way to get to heaven. But then how do we get to Mary? Yes, there is another way. And it is the way of Saint Joseph. Again, it is short. Again, it is sweet. That should appeal to us. busy as we are, we should all have a devotion to Saint Joseph. Our Lady, like Jesus, obeyed Joseph, and she still does, because things in heaven don't change. What a motive for confidence. You're facing some awful crisis, and you've been worrying about this and that and trying the other thing, or just you've been discouraged and given up. What a motive for confidence. Do not be afraid. The angel said that to Joseph, and Joseph says that to us today. Have a firm faith, one that prays to Saint Joseph in a way that will be so pleasing to God and so pleasing to the Mother of God. Have a firm faith, and you will be heard. If not on the first novena, then on the second. Continue your prayers until they are heard. In whatsoever tribulation they shall cry to me, I will hear them. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.